At the beginning of the summer, Genevieve hosted the MYF at her house. It ended up being Lucas, Genevieve, me, and the youth sponsors. We started out with discussions about stress, and we ended up talking until almost 11 p.m., with Genevieve's parents kindly bringing us cups of tea, as we launched into topics of, can God be violent? Does God control our lives? Can we use gendered language for God? I walked away from these conversations excited and amazed by the thoughts, the faith, and the expression of these young people. After that evening, we decided to take the lectionary texts for this Sunday, read them, study them, and discuss them together. This Sunday's sermon and reflections flow out of these discussions. The Bible presents us with many different stories, and this morning we're going to focus in on the two that you have heard read. As we worked together over the summer, we talked about how we listen to God together. We discern with one another what we see in the text and what we think that it means for us today. Hopefully, when we do Bible study together, we come to the table open, ready to learn from God and the other. But we never get to just check our lives at the door. We listen from a place of being embedded in our own stories, with the lens of our life coloring how we hear the other and the text. And I think there is something of God in that. We don't just get over ourselves to hear from God. God is in and through and with all. Our lives bring God into clearer view for us and for others. This morning, you may not hear one tidy little message, but you will hear a faithful reading of the Bible, sitting in God's Word and honestly asking, God, what does your Spirit want to say to your people at this time? How you hear us may be similar to how these stories were heard so long ago. And what I mean by that is that these stories came with layers of meaning from what people had heard in the past about them, and also were heard in a particular way depending what was going on in the hearer's life. So I invite you to listen in to some of our conversations as we explore the texts with you this morning.
So, full disclosure, saying yes to this process of discernment, reflection, and sharing was, to say the least, intimidating for me. When Mariah texted Lucas and I about this, I experienced a series of emotions. My first reaction was, wow, what a great opportunity. I would love this. Then I remembered that I was attempting to say no to some opportunities over the summer to give myself an actual break before beginning college. At that point, Lucas responded that he would be interested, and I realized that if I said no to this, I would regret it. So I accepted the inevitable, saying yes to this opportunity. After I hit send, I realized that this would mean I would have to study these passages, figure out what they mean to me, and then share those opinions first with Mariah and Lucas, and then to the whole church. While I have reflected on parts of the Bible by myself and within snippets of Sunday school, MYF, or baptism prep, I had never done something quite to this extent. And those many reflections before this process did not in any way mean I was comfortable in this Bible discernment arena. I honestly didn't trust myself to be able to do this. But I did trust in Mariah and Lucas to see this safely through, and most importantly, I trusted that God had an idea for this process. And whoever said that being Christian and following God was comfortable? Well, certainly not Elijah in the First Kings passage. The people of Israel at that time had just broken their covenant with God, killed all of the prophets, and were looking to kill Elijah too. Elijah seemed to be doing the reasonable thing and escaping. He walked for 40 days to the mountain of Sinai. I'm sure he was exhausted, stressed, and terrified of what his future may look like. So when God asked Elijah what he was doing there, Elijah was a little defensive in explaining it to him. He probably thought that he had done enough, but that was not what God had in mind. Then a wind, earthquake, and fire passed by, not letting Elijah receive any reassurance that he was safe there, after which was the sound of sheer silence, and Elijah went out to the entrance of the cave, and he was asked again what he was doing there, and he responded the same way, explaining to God what had happened. God did not say, "Well, okay, now I understand. You can go live a comfortable life. Here's a pillow and a blanket. I will go fix everything." No. God gave him a list of instructions and expectations that Elijah would go back to that place with those people, and Elijah had to trust God, trust that he would see Elijah safely through, trust that she would be near and hear his questions and sometimes his complaints. Elijah had to believe. Elijah also had to trust himself, trust that he could do what God told him to do, trust that he was hearing God and believing in the right thing. Now, this passage makes following God's instructions sound pretty bleak. Elijah was not asked to go to a very friendly place and do things that would go over very well. And that definitely has merit. Sometimes following God is challenging and ugly. But the Psalms passage and the call to worship this morning reminds us that choosing God is also incredible. I mean, love and faithfulness will meet, righteousness and peace will embrace. That's beautiful. In reading that scripture before meeting with Mariah and Lucas for the first time, I was overcome with this feeling of pure excitement for what it meant to be following God. This unending joy and peace in trusting in our God. So yes, even though at times we are challenged to the point of exhaustion or we are feeling frightened for the future, we have to remember to trust God. And by doing so, we must believe that there will be times when love and faithfulness meet. The Matthew passage where Jesus walks on water to his disciples has always been a favorite of mine. I love the juxtaposition of the storm's turbulence around the boat to Jesus' calm, light steps across the water. In addition, I have a thing for boats and water, so any scripture that has anything to do about either of these draws me. I feel a unique sense of security out on the water. I love the spray from the waves as we cut through them, carving a path through the ever-changing waters. The trust that we have that a ship is going to hold us up and propel us forward is similar to the trust that we should have for our faith. Our belief and trust in God should be our safety and our forward motion, even as the waves may crash around us. And doesn't that sound relevant today? Trusting in God wholeheartedly and open-mindedly may lead to weariness, but we are stronger than we think we are, and God will not desert us. In those minutes before I replied yes to Mariah's text, I made excuses for why I couldn't do this. And even after I accepted the challenge, I doubted myself, thinking that I wasn't experienced enough or I didn't know enough about the Bible. But I realized that my trust in God and my trust in my collaborators forced me to believe in myself because they had that same trust in me. Elijah's excuses for running from Israel may have seemed valid, but God saw more in him than what he could see. So Elijah had to believe, and I had to believe. And that belief in God is truly a beautiful thing. It promises peace, challenge, and love. I am grateful for the opportunity to process these passages over the summer and to share this with you. My deepening trust in myself and in our faith has already benefited my life, and I pray that you may be able to find that too.
When Mariah first contacted me about working on a sermon with her and Genevieve this summer, I didn't really know what to expect. I knew I was reluctant to take on any actual work or responsibilities, but I figured it would be a good experience and a taste of preaching to see if I like it. I found the prep work fun, though most of the time I felt like I had no idea what I was doing. I still feel that way a little bit. And I enjoyed having my beliefs challenged and challenging beliefs in turn. After thinking about what the texts had in common, we settled on the theme, trusting and listening to God. We explored the question, what can these texts teach us about trusting and listening to God? Before we can even think about doing what God says, we first have to think about how we can hear what God wants to tell us. And I think this is what the First Kings passage is about. God tells Elijah to go out and stand on a mountain and listen for him to pass by. A wind comes, and God is not in the wind. An earthquake comes, and God is not in the earthquake. A fire comes, and God is not in the fire. But finally, a gentle whisper comes, and that's where God is. Sometimes we expect God to shout all the answers into our lives over all the busyness and hassle. We seem to ignore any signs he gives us unless it's as obvious as a literal sign. But if we don't make time to listen to God and to be with God, how will we understand what God wants? I've often wondered why some other religious groups tend to have more visions and dreams and the like than we do. Maybe they do a better job at setting aside a Sabbath space for God to fill. I know that's something that I struggle with a lot. It's easy to forget the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy, but it was given as a commandment, right up there along with do not murder. It is in fact a part of the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. A Sabbath is not taking a half-hour walk when we're stressed, only to return to our stressful lives. It's a continuous effort to set aside time to rest and be with God and to listen to whatever God has to tell you. I think the Matthew passage, on the other hand, is more about how we can listen to and act on God's words, the second step. This is the classic walking on water story. It's been spoken on hundreds of times, so I probably won't be saying anything you haven't heard before, but it's always good to hear it again. I've always wondered what Jesus expected would happen when he walked out on water to the boat. Did he just think the disciples would think, oh, it's just Jesus doing another Jesus thing? He had to know that they would be startled, right? I think he knew this would be a teaching moment. There he goes, out on the water, and the disciples think it's a ghost. Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid, says Jesus. And Peter says, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. Just imagine how much courage and faith it took for Peter to need only a word from Jesus to risk drowning. He didn't have all the evidence that we have now to know that Jesus was God. He just had this miracle man, in the truest sense of the words, who indirectly claimed to be God. Peter fully put his trust in Jesus so that all he had to say was come, and Peter believed he could do it. Jesus told the disciples to take courage, and Peter did exactly that. Not the reckless courage of movies where the hero charges into battle and somehow comes out on top against all the odds, but the godly courage that goes hand in hand with faith. It takes courage to be faithful, and it takes faith to be courageous. When Peter lost his focus and began to fear, there went his courage. When he lost his courage and was filled with doubt, there went his faith. To be a follower of Christ takes steadfast courage and steadfast faith. Many Christians today have courage and faith insofar as logic and science support. But the moment God asks us to cross those boundaries, we think, well, that's not really what God wants. There must be some interference here. We probably have a bad connection. And we wait for a different sign, for a different message. A more manageable and safe one. One that doesn't demand we leave our safe bubble of logic and science. But Peter was willing to leave that bubble. For a moment, when he wasn't thinking about why this didn't make sense or why it shouldn't work, when he was only focused on God's call, he walked on the water with Jesus and took part in one of the most impressive miracles of the entire New Testament. I invite you to make an effort to consciously set aside time to listen for God. Keep the Sabbath holy. If you feel like God is asking you to do something out of your comfort zone, that doesn't mean God has the wrong person. It doesn't mean that every whimsical thought that pops into your head is from God either. But if you feel an uncomfortable push that might be from God, give it some serious thought. Listen to God and trust that God knows what he's doing.
I had to laugh when I first read the text for today. Jesus walking on water was the first passage I ever preached on. And I had been extremely resistant to preaching. But I found that I learned so much through the process and felt honored that people trusted me to step into this space. The point that I made back then about this passage is still the same one that stands out to me today. In this story of Jesus walking to his disciples across the water and then inviting Peter to step out of the boat, I get a message loud and clear. The point that I see here is that Jesus is already standing in the impossible and inviting us to join him. Jesus doesn't just send us out to face a challenge on our own. Jesus is already standing there doing the thing that bends our mind and asking us to step out in faith towards him. In the simple word, come. We are called to step out beyond our fear. Without all of the answers, we are called to be ready to see and to work in new ways. Ways that we might not have even known were a possibility. What is Jesus inviting you to right now? What is the call to step out, listen, and trust in your life? This weekend, I've been pondering where in Harrisonburg or Charlottesville is Jesus standing on the water, beckoning us out into a risky faith. Elijah thought that he was following God, and that's what got him into trouble. In this passage, he is depressed, afraid, and hiding in a cave. Elijah doesn't come out of the cave when God first calls him. He sits waiting, watching, and listening until the storm, the wind, and the fire have passed, and there is silence. It is in that moment that Elijah goes out of the cave. I love that God starts by asking what Elijah is doing there, allowing Elijah to voice his complaint and concern before God gives him instructions. God understands our lives, sees them in their completeness. God knows our strengths and our weaknesses and our story of how we came to be in this place. But God keeps calling us on. God reveals God's self to us, and if we have eyes to see where God is already working, I believe we can be brave enough to swing our leg over the side of the boat and to step out to where Jesus is already standing. May we have this kind of faith to trust ourselves and those who God has sent us on this journey with, that we can truly listen and step out in this kind of faith. Amen.